The idea for the teaching theme for this year's All Church Retreat was born several months ago while I was sitting in my living room watching the movie The Incredibles with my 7-year-old daughter. I had been thinking and praying about what to teach at the retreat, and while watching this movie for about the 10th time, and if you have little ones, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to just, they have amazing capacity to just watch a video again and again and again. I mean, back to back in the same day even. But as I'm watching that movie, it hit me. Incredibles, superheroes, or simply supers, as they're called in the movie. Now, you might be sitting here this morning wondering, what does the movie The Incredibles have to do with spiritual things? I mean, what does it have to say about the Christian life? Well, you might be surprised. I'm not endorsing this film as Christian or anything of that sort, but it was chosen as a fun way to tie the teaching sessions together and to illustrate some of the scriptural truths that we were going to look at over the weekend. There were a total of 4 sessions this weekend using the movie The Incredibles as the backdrop or a parable for the Christian life. In the first session entitled, "You Are a Super," I talked about who we are in Christ, and that's what I'm going to share with you this morning. In the second session, entitled, "You Have Superpowers," my wife, Sharon, talked about our superpowers. God has given us spiritual gifts or superpowers to enable us to carry out the mission that we have. In the third session, entitled, "You Have a Supersuit," Jeff Lynch, he talked about our supersuit. Every believer has a supersuit or special armor, the armor of God, to protect him or her in the spiritual war that we are engaged in. And then finally, in the 4th session this morning, entitled, "You Have a Super Mission," Steve Bunnell is going to talk about the mission that we've been given. As Jesus followers, we really are on a mission from God. And I don't know how much more super a mission can be than one that you get from the God of the universe. So, the following film clip from the movie The Incredibles is intended to kind of set the context for the clips we'll be seeing later on, and if you had been there this weekend, all of the clips leading or following after that. So now, Larry, hit the lights, baby. We want to be supers. Can anyone tell me what this is? It looks like a towel. But it's no towel. This is a towel that I turned into a cape all the time when I was a kid. I used to take my mom's bath towels and I would tie them around my neck and have it hang down my back as a cape. And then I would jump off anything and everything I could find in the living room to give me a sense of flying. And in my imagination, I did fly. My brother and I, we would spar and we would fight with each other and against the bad guys, sending them flying with one super punch or one super kick. We would be captured and tied up and threatened with torture, but we would never give in. We always stood for what was right. We stood for justice and fairness. And when the opportunity presented itself, we would always escape the clutches of the bad guys, defeat them. We created secret hideouts in the vacant fields behind our house. We built guns and bombs and gadgets for our belts out of odd pieces of wood and junk that we found laying around. We made super fast cars and planes and rocket ships out of our imagination and cardboard boxes and lawn chairs. See, the desire to be super is deeply ingrained in the heart of every single one of us in some form or other. Now, we may call it by some other name, we may use some other context in which to describe it, but it's there. We want to be different. We want to escape the limits of our reality. We want to be heroes. And that desire tells us that we are not what we were meant to be. There's a general feeling of restlessness and discontent within our heart that pulls us toward that thing that we're not, and we want to be, and we also know that we should be. I think it's at least part of what Solomon was getting at when he wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that God has set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. When we are children, the desire is right at the surface and it fills our imagination at every turn. But as we get older, we push it further and further down. We have to be mature. We have to be responsible. We have to act like adults. But Matthew 19:14, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." We need to have what we might call a divine imagination. We need to be able to see the way God does. The world we live in, when it is seen from an adult point of view, it's very one-dimensional. But when we see our physical world and all that's here with the eyes of a child, with the eyes of God, with the eyes of divine imagination, with the eyes of faith, it's multidimensional. What the physical eyes see is only a small part of what's really there. 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul writes, "We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." 2 Corinthians 5:7, "We live by faith, not by sight." Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." Tigers and goats. The tiger is an animal that brings a sense of awe and worship to mind for me, like few others. The combination of beauty and power found in the tiger is simply amazing to me on a personal level. Siberian tigers are the largest natural occurring cat in the world. They're bigger than lions by quite a bit. Males can weigh over 800 pounds. Their roar can be heard for over a mile. The glory of God shouts to me through the tiger. One of my favorite poems is "The Tiger" by William Blake. It captures perfectly the beautiful terror found in the tiger. I want to read it to you. "Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night. What immortal hand or eye could frame thy fearful symmetry? In what distant deeps or skies burnt the fire of thine eyes? On what wings dare he aspire? What the hand dare seize the fire? And what shoulder and what art could twist the sinews of thy heart? And when thy heart began to beat, what dread hand and what dread feet? What the hammer? What the chain? In what furnace was thy brain? What the anvil? What dread grasp dare its deadly terrors clasp? When the stars threw down their spears and watered heaven with their tears, did he smile his work to see? Did he who made the lamb make thee? Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forests of the night, what immortal hand or eye dare frame thy fearful symmetry?" There was once a motherless tiger cub that was adopted and raised by a herd of goats. And the tiger cub learned the goat language, he ate goat food, he learned the goat way of doing everything. Because the tiger cub had been adopted by the goats at such a young age, he actually believed he was a goat. And then one day, a king tiger came along. All the goats scattered in fear, leaving the young tiger all alone to confront the fearsome tiger king. And the young tiger felt afraid, but also in a strange way, not afraid. And the tiger king asked the young tiger what he was doing, carrying on with such a strange masquerade among these goats, behaving like one of them. But all the young tiger could do is respond with a nervous bleat and continue nibbling at the grass. So the tiger king took him to a pool of water and forced him to look at their two reflections side by side in the pool and draw his own conclusions. And the young tiger was confused. So the tiger king offered him his very first piece of raw meat. And at first the young tiger recoiled from this unfamiliar taste. But then as he ate and he felt it warming his blood, the truth gradually became clear to him. Lashing his tail and digging his claws into the ground, the young tiger raised his head high and the jungle trembled with the sound of his roar. He was not a goat at all. He was a tiger. An overwhelming joy filled the heart of the young tiger when he finally discovered who he was. All of the pieces of his life began to fall into place. A new sense of purpose gripped him. He had discovered his destiny. Jesus is a tiger. Beautiful and fierce and powerful and dangerous. His presence causes us to shudder in fear on the one hand, and on the other hand, we're drawn to him. We want to be as close as we can to him because we feel the life gushing from him. Jesus is the king tiger who has burst into this herd of goats. And he's asking you and me, why are you behaving like a goat? You are a tiger, and I have come to set you free from all that has prevented you from becoming what you are. The glory of God is man fully alive. Saint Irenaeus said that many, many years ago. And this is the central idea of what I want to communicate to you today. The glory of God is man fully alive. God is glorified in us and through us when we are what God intended us to be. Put another way, when you are a tiger but you're living like a goat, you are not bringing glory to God. He intended you to be a tiger, not a goat. Be a tiger. Or put another way, you're a super. And God is glorified when you live like a super. Jesus is a man fully alive. He is full of life and vitality like no other human being has ever been. When we look at Jesus Christ, we see what a human being is supposed to be. John 10:10, Jesus said, "I've come that they may have life and have it to the full." The Greek word translated to the full, in the NIV translation there, it means superabundant in quantity and superior in quality. Did you catch that? In other words, Jesus came to give you and I super life. Jesus came to make you and me fully alive. I believe the root of many of our problems is an identity crisis of sorts. We don't know who we are. We forget who we are. We refuse to accept who we are, and we're not being who we are. God's glory is not seen in that kind of life. We're not fully alive when we live like that. We are half dead when we live like that. The glory of God is man fully alive. Waiting to see something amazing. In the movie The Incredibles, something happens that requires all of the superheroes to go undercover and assume regular civilian lives and stop being superheroes. Now, the thing that happens that causes that is not really that important for us this morning. But when the superheroes have to go undercover and stop being superheroes, something dies in them because they are not being what they were created to be. They are living drastically diminished lives from what they could and should be living. They are not fully alive. Go ahead and let's play this next clip, Larry.
Bob, Mr. Incredible, he stuck working at this insurance company for an unethical boss who wants him to cheat people out of their benefits. And this goes against everything that he believes in, everything that he lives for. He was created to stand for justice and to protect the downtrodden. And as he's getting lectured by this pipsqueak boss of his, he's watching this criminal outside the window in the alley mugging someone, the very thing that he was created to give his life to fight against. And this is where his passion lies. His heart pulls him in that direction. He knows that is his true destiny. And Bob's frustration finally boils over from knowing that he is not being what he was made to be. And his boss ends up in the hospital and he gets fired. Now in this next clip, We're picking up as Bob arrives home from this very bad, very long day at the office. The comment by the neighborhood kid on the driveway is very telling. When Bob, Mr. Incredible, asks the kid what he's waiting for, the kid says, "I don't know. Something amazing, I guess." The world is saying the same thing to us. They're waiting for something amazing. They're waiting to see people who are fully alive. They're waiting to see the glory of God in His people as they're being what they were meant to be. Few things make Jesus Christ more compelling to the unbeliever than to see the glory of God in people fully alive. Now, I want to make sure that you don't misunderstand me here. I'm not talking about miracle performing power. I'm talking about something much more visceral, much more gut level than that. I'm talking about the power that God manifests in bringing dead people to life, in displaying His glory through us, in showing the world what a human being is intended to be. God's glory is seen in the broken. You might be thinking, well, I don't see much of God's glory in my life. And my question to you is, are you looking in the right places? If you take a light and you put it inside of a clay pot and you close the lid, what do you see? Just a clay pot. The light inside is hidden from view. But if that clay pot has cracks in it and pieces are broken out of it, what do you see? Then you see the light shining out through the cracks and the missing pieces and the places where the pot is broken. And our life is the same way. The glory of God shines out of us through those cracked and broken places. The Apostle Paul, he tells a story about his own life when he was permitted to see things that human beings are not allowed to see on this side of heaven. Glorious things. Things that a person would get a big head over. 2 Corinthians 12:1 says, "I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago," he's talking about himself, but he doesn't mention his own name. He says, "I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell." And then he skips down to verse 7. It says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away from me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about My weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" You see, it's not about us being super in ourselves. It's about us being super in Christ, and He has made us super. And the places where His superness shines the brightest in our life is those places where His superness has been needed the most. The places where God's glory shines out of our life is the places where His glory has been needed the most. It's the cracked and the broken places of our life that God's glory shines out the brightest. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from ourselves." God's intention for us. Jesus is the prototype of what God is creating in us. In Romans 8:29, He says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified." Now that word translated firstborn is prototokos, the English word that immediately comes to our mind and is derived from the same root is prototype. A prototype is the first of its type or kind. It's the model or pattern for those that follow. And Jesus is our prototype. What is God's intention for us? That we be like Jesus.
be conformed, it says, to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn, the prototokos, the prototype among many brothers and sisters. And I don't want us to miss this. Those who conform to the likeness of his son are glorious, it says here. Those whom God foreknew and predestined to be like Jesus, he called, he justified, and he glorified. What we are becoming is glorious. Romans 8:18, Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. I want to close this morning with the words of a song called Beautiful by Bethany Dillon. This song expresses the same ideas I have been talking about, but it expresses these ideas from a female perspective, which I think is important for us to hear. See, I'm a man, and I see things through the eyes of a man. Some of the things that we've been talking about here, some of you might think, well, you know, this is man stuff, but it isn't. It's human stuff. Men and women may express these things differently. We may seek superness differently. We may describe the yearning in our heart differently. There may be different images and experiences that speak these things to our hearts, but the truths are the same. The hunger in the heart is the same. I can still remember the first time I heard this song. My daughter Taylor was playing it on our car stereo as I'm driving her home from school one afternoon. And as I'm on the freeway, I'm all of a sudden fighting back tears as I'm listening to the words of this song. This song was clawing at my heart. And ever since, I have looked forward to the opportunity to actually share it with you. Beautiful. I was so unique. Now I feel skin deep. I count on the makeup to cover it all, crying myself to sleep because I cannot keep their attention. I thought I could be strong, but it's killing me. Does someone hear my cry? I'm dying for new life. I want to be beautiful, make you stand in awe, look inside my heart and be amazed. I want to hear you say, who I am is quite enough. Just want to be worthy of love and beautiful. Sometimes I wish I was someone other than me, fighting to make the mirror happy, trying to find whatever is missing. Won't you help me back to glory? I want to be beautiful, make you stand in awe, look inside my heart and be amazed. I want to hear you say, who I am is quite enough. Just want to be worthy of love and beautiful. You make me beautiful. You make me stand in awe. You step inside my heart, and I am amazed. I love to hear you say, who I am is quite enough. You make me worthy of love and beauty. Christian, you have the glory of God inside of you. You are a super. He has given you superpowers. He has given you a super suit. He has given you a super mission to serve, to save, protect, and instill hope in others. Be fully alive, bringing glory to God. Be who you are in Christ. If you're not a Jesus follower yet, he's asking you this morning, why are you behaving like a goat? You are a tiger.
I came so that you could discover who I always intended and created you to be. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you that you are a tiger. That you're beautiful and you're dangerous and you're scary and you're powerful. We thank you that you burst into this goat herd to call us to be who we really always were. Lord, I ask you to touch your people this morning with your love and just a fresh revelation of who you are and who they are in you. May your glory shine in them and through them. We thank you, Lord, that we get to be those who bring glory to you. Make us fully alive, Lord. In Christ's name.